Production. Recorded live.
Hallelujah, amen. Praise God on today, amen. I would just like to welcome everybody to another talk show segment of Spirit of Elijah Ministries. I'm your host, Apostle Lionel Blair. Today we're going to continue our discussion on advancing the kingdom. Amen. And, you know, first of all, I want to start off by asking, can you all hear me? You know, I want to make sure that everybody hear me. If you hear me in the chat room, I see Apostle and Prophet McQueen from Christ the King. Amen. It's always a pleasure to have you all on the line. Amen. I truly, you know, appreciate y'all and love y'all. Amen. Psalmist Will, just shout yes if you can hear me. Just say yes if you can hear me. All right. Yeah. I just want to make sure that, you know, everybody, you know, hear me. Amen. And have a couple of people coming on today. But I was just in a mode of worship, you know, not too long ago. And it's very important that we get into the presence of God and learn how to, you know, keep what we get from the presence of God. You know, we've got so programmed as a church, you know, we basically programmed the presence of God right out of the church. And I'm going to tell you something. In your relationship with God, and I'm learning this more and more, it's so important that we begin to get into the presence of God, the very presence of God. It is very important, you know, that we develop a intimate relationship with God, because, you know, one thing about the presence of God, there's safety in the presence of God. You know, you don't have to worry about no strange things coming to you in the presence of God. Because once you get intimate with God, you know, you basically know his presence from another presence. Come on, somebody. You know, you can tell, you know, what's of God and what's not of God. You know, because when you know somebody, you know them, you know their heart. You're not just after what they can give you, but you know their heart, you know them. Amen. And God desires for us to know him in a personal, in an intimate way. You know, matter of fact, this is the time now to draw even nearer unto God, because the signs of the times are upon us. You know, the Bible says there will be wars and rumors of wars. How long we've been hearing that, you know, in the news and everything like that. You know, there will be earthquakes in diverse places. It's happening. So if this is not a time to get into the presence of God and seek God for yourself, I don't know what time would be better. Then now, I'm reminded of a scripture the Bible says, and I'm feeling led to go here too. The Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. That's deep. Because there's going to come a point in time, amen, where folks going to be looking for God and not going to be able to find him. See, I say it in all love, but I say it with seriousness too, in firmness. We, as a people, need to go head on and start moving in the grace of God now, while the grace of God is still available to us while we live it. Because there's going to come a point in time where all that's going to cease, and we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to have to be held accountable for everything that we have done in our bodies, every idle word that we have spoken. The Bible says is going to come into judgment. So when we stand before Christ, he's going to open them books up, because in Revelation it talks about books that's going to be opened up about your life, my life, our life, and it's going to have written on it everything that we've ever done in our lives, and we're going to be judged accordingly to what we have done and how we have lived our lives. You know, whether we accept Christ or not, then when we accept Christ, what do we do while we accept him? So while God is extending his love and saying, come on, my children, come on into my kingdom, I got a better life for you, it's very important that we take advantage of that opportunity now, because it's going to come a point in time where that opportunity is not going to be made available. So God loves us, amen, but the Bible also says that there's a work that God is doing in the earth, and he's going to cut it short in righteousness for the elect's sake. So we don't have the time that we think we have. You know, I can remember when I was getting ready to turn, you know, 17, I believe. And, you know, I pretty much grew up in church, you know, but I hung in the streets eventually. I left the church setting, you know, because of a few things. And, you know, then I began to run the streets and, you know, do everything under the sun. Amen. And I thought in my mind, I was like, look, I already know I need to get myself together. So I'm going to give my life to God when I turn 18. Why did I say that? When I turned 18, I got worse. See, we thinking we got time. See, I thought I had time. But the more time you take, the worse it's going to get. I know from experience. Because when I turned 18, I was old enough to buy cigarettes. Then I was old enough to buy blunts. Everything, a tobacco product, I was old enough to buy it. And I'm so glad that he saved me before I turned 21. I'm so glad he delivered me before I turned 21 because I would have been off the chain with the alcohol. Amen. Can I be real for some folks that's listening? You know, so we don't have time. Time is running out. You know, a lot of folks, you know, God is tugging on your heart right now. He's pulling on your spirit. He says, come in now while rest is available. Come on in now while I'm extending my love towards you. Because understand that when we reject God's love, when we reject the love of God, that is a dangerous thing. You know, when we rebel against God, we are rejecting the love of God. Because he makes a deliverance available to us, so you don't have to be in bondage to whatever it is that you're in bondage to. I don't care what it is, crack cocaine, methamphetamine, alcohol, cigarettes, whatever you are in bondage to. The love of God is able, come on now, to bring you out of any situation, because it's by his love that he sent his son Jesus, come on now, to die on the cross for our sins, that we may be reconciled to God. Jesus basically took on the punishment of our sins, because every sin in the eyes of God deserves death. But Jesus said, I'll step in the gap and take on their punishment. And it is through him that we can receive eternal life. It is through him, Jesus Christ, that we can get to God, because he said, no man comes unto God but by me. You don't come to Christ, amen. You don't come to Christ by nothing else, not by your works or nothing. You come to God through Christ, not through your pastor, not through, you know, Sister so-and-so, not through anybody else. It's only through Christ. Every man or woman of God is always supposed to point you to Christ, the source of your salvation, the author and finisher of your faith. Come on now. So many people are pointing, you know, the people towards them, and it's through me you can get to God. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible puts out there that Jesus Christ made a relationship with God available to all. And understand, yes, you respect authority. You submit to authority, you know, as long as, you know, the authority is, you know, lining up with the will of God and they're not asking you to sin. You submit to authority. However, every leader, amen, should point you to the source of your salvation and theirs too. Amen. You know, I just felt led to say that. I felt that that was for somebody, because so many times we tend to look to man for our salvation and understand that man can bring the message of salvation, but they are not the Savior. I'm not the Savior. I'm not your Savior. I can only point you to the Savior, amen, who loved you enough to take your punishment for your sins. Come on now. and mine. Because all of us, because of what we have done to God, because of how gracious and loving he is, and just because he's God, he made the sky, he made you and me. And the Bible describes him as the very breath that we breathe. Come on now, he's the source of the breath that we breathe. So for us to come against him the way that we have done in our past, it deserves death. But by the grace of God, we are able to enter into salvation once we respond to the love of God and faith. And I'm going to talk about love today, amen, the very character of God. And before I go any further, you know, I'm just going to say a word of prayer, amen, and we're going to get right into exactly what the Lord is saying for his people, amen. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Father. I just love you. I just praise you, Father. You're so awesome. You're an awesome wonder, Father. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Father, that you love us enough, Father, to give us a chance to be able to come to you, Father, the right way, Heavenly Father. I thank you, Father, that you love us so much, Father, that you made deliverance available, Father, from our sins, Father. I love you so much that you made healing available for our bodies, our minds, our emotions, Father. I just thank you that even now, Father, that you said, Father, that healing is going to go forth today, Father. And I just bless your name for it, Heavenly Father. And, Father, I just thank you, Father, because you're so good. And I just ask, Father, that you cover this segment in the blood of Jesus, Father. Cover everyone that hears this today in the blood of Jesus. And, Father, let your word go forth. Because you said, Father, that it will not return unto your void. And I thank you that you place in me what to say to your people, to minister to your people, because you love them, you know all about them, and you know what they need. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you right now, Father, just for you performing your word today. In the precious name of Jesus, I thank you and I praise you. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I'm going to be talking about the love of God today, man, and I'm going to try to be calm today, amen, you know, because I got a little hyped up, amen, the last two segments, but that was the Holy Ghost, so like I said, I'm going to try to be calm today, amen, but you never know what God is going to do. But understand, there's one scripture that is going to be the foundation of this segment today. It's a scripture in the Bible that says, that faith works by love. Remember that. Faith works by love. So understand that we can't even get the faith part down pat until we understand the love of God. Because when God presents the gospel to us, and he reveals the love that he has for us. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him, believe now, catch that word, believe in him, shall not perish, but what have everlasting life. All you got to do is believe, right? But it's by the love of God, come on now, that he sent his Son to make this available for us. Amen. And I'm going to dig into this love thing today because the Bible describes love, amen, as the character of God. Love is the character of God. I'm going to say that again. Love, it is the character of God. Amen. It's not just an emotion. That's part of it. But love is a lifestyle. Come on now. Love should be the definition of our character. It is the character of God. If we are to be made and conformed into the image of Christ, we need to look at Christ's love walk. Even in his rebukes, it was done out of love. One day God told me something. He said, even in my judgment, I'm merciful. That's some serious love right there. He said, even in his judgment, he's merciful. Why? Because when God judged something, he could kill up everybody. I mean, he's God. Am I not right? He's God. But in the midst of it, he always gives us a space to repent. The Bible says he even gave Jezebel a space to repent, and she didn't. But it's through his love, his mercy, and him extending his grace that he gives all of us a chance to repent. It don't matter how wicked we are. It don't matter what you've done in your life. It don't matter how bad you sin. It don't matter even if you murdered somebody. It does not matter. God said he's able to forgive you. And see, another thing, too, we got to understand the character of God versus the character of man, because we tend to get caught up in the character of man, and we tend to put that up against what God would do and how he would handle a situation. The devil is a liar. See, what the world would condemn you for, God will forgive you for. See, the world might not forgive a murderer. And I know it's some controversy on what I'm going to say, man, but God even forgives pedophiles. Understand that it's a consequence for what you do, especially when you ruin that person's life. See, you got to understand, God is not like man. I'm not excusing being a pedophile. So I want to put that on record. I think it's sick. I think it's nasty. You see what I'm saying? I think it's the most abominable thing that somebody can do. But you can't judge another person either. Look at the things you've done in your life. Some folks been involved in lesbianism, homosexuality. Come on now. Some folks been drug dealers. Drug dealers, you're a murderer. You see what I'm saying? You're murdering your own folks. You see what I'm saying? Some of us done smoked ourselves crazy. You see what I'm saying? You're abusing your body that's supposed to be set aside for the Holy Spirit. So you can't compare your sin to another person's sin and say that it's greater than the other, because the Bible says the only sin that is unforgivable is when you blaspheme the Holy Ghost. That's it. All other sin, God sees it in the same category. It may have different consequences, but sin is sin. I know, you know, some folks' nerves might be riled up, but we have to begin to see things from God's perspective and stop looking at it from man's perspective. Amen. Because if God can forgive you, then why you can't forgive nobody else? Come on now. I'm not justifying it, but I'm just saying. Now, they might spend a whole life sentence in jail for what they did, but who's to say that God is not going to forgive them? Amen. So, we have to begin to look at things from God's perspective, and we make that mistake a lot. We tend to look at things from our human perspective on what we would do. Come on now. Because in God's eyes, a liar is just as guilty as a murderer. You can go to hell for lying too. So, I say all that to say this. You know, when you begin, amen, to really, really, really see things from God's perspective, I mean, your love walk will be off the chain. See, because it all starts with the love of God. Amen. And we're going to dig into this thing today. We're going to dig into this thing today. In 1 Corinthians 8:3, it speaks of those who love God are known of him. Those who love God are known of him. Matter of fact, I'm going to turn to it. 1 Corinthians 8:3. It says, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. See, when you know somebody, that describes an intimate relationship. I'm about to get out of my seat now. It describes an intimate relationship. When you know somebody, you're intimate with them, right? Amen. So those who love God are known of him. Those who are truly walking in the love of God, understand that when God reveals his love to you, let me start off by saying this. When God reveals his love towards you and you respond in faith to that love, you begin to move in the grace of God. I touched on this a little bit in the last segment about how, you know, we're saved by grace through faith, and, you know, it's by faith we enter into the grace of God, and salvation is a progressive word, which means that it's not obtained automatically, but when you keep moving in the things of God, it's something that will eventually be obtained. The Bible says, those that endure to the end shall be saved. So, but before all of this can happen, first, God reveals his love to you. Mm-hmm. Because in the gospel, the Bible says, miracle signs and wonders follow the gospel. In the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God being established, come on now, in the midst of that, God shows you his love. He shows you his love by delivering you. He shows you his love. He's revealing his love to you when you're sitting there uncomfortable and he's tugging on your heart and you come to the altar and give your life. You say and you make up in your heart that you're going to give your life to him. You see, when you respond to the love of God in faith, then you begin to move in grace. And then in that grace period, amen, you begin to really know what the love of God is. He begin to teach you how to love. And see, that's what so many people don't know how to do. They don't know how to love. And understand that love is not judgmental. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, I'm going to really work this word tonight according to how God will have me to work it, amen, because, you know, God has even shown me some things, you know, about the love of God. He's shown me how folks can say that they're walking in the things of God. But when it comes to loving somebody, they can't do it. They hold grudges and everything else. You know, I refuse. I mean, don't get me wrong. You make me upset, I'd be upset for that moment. But I'm not about to spend the rest of my time being mad at you. And see, love don't hold grudges. That's one of the characteristics that the Bible says about love. It don't hold grudges. Amen. So we as a body of Christ have to begin to learn how to truly love God and love our neighbors. How can you love God that you have not seen and can't even love your neighbor that you do see? That's what the Bible say, right? So some of us, we holler about how we love God and, you know, I just love the Lord. You know, I just love him. You know, God is just so good. But then you still got a grudge against your neighbor, a fellow church member, somebody who's supposed to be in the kingdom like you. And so many people, the number one reason why people leave the church because they say there's no love. That should not be. Because when folks come into church, they feel like you're looking down on them. They feel like you're judging them. Come on now. And some of us who are in these traditional churches, we just need to get over ourselves. You know, let them ladies come in with pants on. God ain't concerned about no man-made rules. Talking about women can't wear pants, can't wear makeup, can't wear nails, can't get your hair done. The devil is a liar. You in bondage. Can I say that again? You in bondage. Yeah, we put all these demands on people. Come on now. And then when they don't meet our demands, we tend to judge them. There are a lot of preachers and people in the ministry that have been wounded because people put this label on them because they don't meet their expectations. Who are you to make an expectation out of somebody? Are they meeting God's expectations? And see, these are the issues that's going on, and these are why people are leaving our churches. I've seen people go to church, and I've seen this more than once. I've seen people go to church, get on fire for God, baptized in the Holy Ghost, going forth in the things of God, and then next thing you know, church folks done rejected them because they done did something that they don't agree with or done said something or they don't meet their expectations or being that, you know, they can't be manipulated or controlled, then they begin to come up against them. We treat this thing like a mafia. When we're supposed to be saving souls, bringing them into the kingdom of God, not into the church. Come on now, because they can be in the church and not be in the kingdom. Ain't nothing wrong with being in church, but get them in the kingdom. That's a Pharisaical spirit. Jesus told the Pharisees that you don't enter into the kingdom of God and you prevent others. Why? Because you're trying to put these heavy demands on people that don't even line up with the word of God, and then as soon as they don't meet them demands, then you're ready to boot them out. You talk about them. You get on the phone. You gossip. And then once they come to church, you got everybody looking at them or ignoring them or treating them funny. That's not God. And there's a lot of people, amen, the Lord says that healing is going to go forth today, but I felt that in the area of the emotional realm too. I mean, because you can be healed in your body, don't get me wrong, you know, but there's a lot of folks that's been hurt by this. Come on now. And some folks, sometimes they go through stuff like that and they don't even want to go back into another church again. That's another soul that you lost. And there's more blood that's on your hands. Come on now. So we have to begin to really, really examine ourselves. Are we truly walking like we're supposed to walk? Does our character line up with the will of God? Understand that we're supposed to have God-like character. So many people, I've seen quite a few people, they be thrusted in ministry because the leader recognized they have a gift. Come on, Jesus. They recognize that they have a gift, amen. And, you know, the whole time their character have not been made. They have a calling and a gift, their character have not been made. And they end up damaging more people when they minister. You have to be processed. We have to be crushed. We have to be broken. Come on now. It's in your brokenness that you really learn to appreciate the love of God. So many times, I've seen so many people be wounded by leaders who have not been made by God, leaders who have not been broken before God, and they going out and they hurting other people because they got stuff that they dealing with on the inside. They have not been made over again. They're not truly walking in the love of God. And you can't love God unless you love your neighbor. Understand that even in correction, people ought to feel like they love. Even in the midst of correction, your love should not have no motive behind it. Come on, Jesus. Our love should not have no motives, nothing attached to it. Period. But so many times we have a wrong motives. We'll love on you, you know, get you everything that you want and you need as long as you're meeting our expectations, as long as you can be controlled, manipulated, as long as you can, you know, pretty much do what I tell you to do. That's not God. Love is unconditional. Whether you line up with the word of God or not. Come on now, Jesus loved us in our sins. The Bible says that even when we were sinners, Christ died for us. He saw the state that we was in, and then he still deemed it worth it that he go to the cross on behalf of our sins, that we may have a chance to be reconciled to the Father. See, God gonna really expose his love thing here. You know, and God has opened my eyes to some things too. Amen. And there's some things that he's doing in me, too. Amen. You know, because love is patient, and he helped me to be patient. Amen. Oh, I can tell you. I can tell you about me. Amen. I'm not going to preach to you something I'm not living myself. Amen. You know, as I was going, you know, over this in my spirit today, you know, God was even showing me some areas that he's perfecting me in. He's working on me right now in some areas. Because if you look at yourself and honestly examine yourself, I'm talking about everybody that's listening, if you look at yourself, you know that you've fallen short in an area of love. I don't care who you are, how nice you are. Come on now. Because there's many different things that come with the love of God, and some of us is falling short in some areas. Come on now. None of us perfect. Amen. You know, some folks like to think that they perfect. They don't got nothing wrong with them. They don't got nothing God working out of them. Come on now. God is working patience out of me. When it comes to the area of love, amen. Come on now. God is working that out. You know, so God is perfecting me like he perfecting you. I don't care if you apostle, prophet, you know, bishop, whatever you want to call yourself, whatever you are in God, amen. You still got an area in your love walk that God is perfecting. Not too many people going to say amen or admit to that. Amen. But that's real. Amen. And see, what I'm seeing now is a loveless church that's coming up. And in John, I believe it's 13:35, it says it's talking about how the real disciples of Christ are known by their love for one another. Now, let me turn to that real quick. See, I'm gonna turn to this real quick because you know we really got to get this thing down packed in. It says, and I believe this is when Jesus was praying, and it says, John 13:35. It says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love for one another." So if there's no love in the church, you don't belong to God. If you can't love your neighbor, I don't care what they do to you. If you can't love them, then you don't belong to God. You are not a disciple of Christ. You can't follow God. God not using you. Nothing. See, We get too caught up in gifts. God is caught up in character. See, I won't gonna get into this till later, amen. But I feel led to go here, amen. The Bible declares that you can have all these gifts. All these gifts. Gift of prophecy, all these gifts. But if you don't have love, then it means nothing. Uh-oh. Okay, I'll say that again. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 13, I just opened right up to it. It says, "Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels." Yeah. "Tongues of men and of angels. And have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." Amen. See, I'm talking to the church right now. This is for the church. It's strictly for the church. Because, see, the world don't have love. But we're the ones that's supposed to give them love, but if we don't got our love walked down packed, then we don't have nothing to give them. It says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am what? Nothing." Nothing. "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing." So you can do all these good deeds. Come on now. You can do all these good deeds. You can do, my God, my goodness, you can do charity work. Give millions and trillions of dollars. Some people think they get into heaven by their works. The devil is a liar. But if we have not love, what we do means nothing. If we don't have love, our prophecy and our huckamacia and shatata and all that other stuff, that ain't nothing to God. That ain't moving nothing in the spirit. You ain't moving nothing. Come on now. If anything, all that stuff turns into chance and all that other stuff. Because, see, God is more concerned about your character. What makes a false prophet false is not necessarily by their gift. Come on now. The Bible says that you will know them by their fruit, not their gift, their fruit. And as I recall, the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit, singular term, fruit of the Spirit is love. And then I strongly believe that it begins to describe what love is. Joy, peace, long-suffering. Remember, long-suffering and patience are the same thing, go hand in hand. And the Bible says love is patient, right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, and temperance. Come on now. So the fruit of the Spirit is love. And with love come all these other attributes. That's what it says. It don't say fruits with an S. We love to put the word S on there, but God is very specific. Come on. He's very specific. So understand this. Understand this, okay? That without love, without our character being rooted and established in the love of God, what we want to do for God, what we think we're doing for God, or what we are doing for God, God don't see it as nothing. He really don't. You know, and some people may think it's harsh or whatever, but it's the word of God. It's the word of God. We are losing souls here. God is not concerned about my feelings, your feelings, nobody's feelings. He's concerned about the souls, come on now, that we are losing, you know, because we keep shunning them away. Amen. The church looking at us and seeing that we can't even get along. Hello? We can't even get along. You know, in a lot of churches, I'm not going to say what denominations, amen, but you got folks that be fighting in the choir stand. When folks come to church and see all that bickering, they see one family run the whole church, you know, don't let nobody else do nothing, stuff like that. They see all that. That is not rooted in love. I said it before, and I'm going to say it again. The number one reason why people leave churches is because they say there's no love in the church. Why is that? Why is that? And leaders, we have to begin to examine ourselves, because if there's no love in the church, if people don't feel love in the church, or they feel a conditional love in the church, because there is a love that you feel, that you can feel flowing from the head down, that is conditional. As long as, you know, I do, as long as you do what I ask you to do, then I love you. But as soon as, you know, you don't meet my expectations, or you make a mistake, or you do something I don't like, then you see another side of me that's not of God. I'm going to tell you something. I've been running into some very church-hurt folks lately, and they're very damaged by church. You know, love don't have its own motives. Come on now. Regardless of what you do, I'm supposed to love you. If you're overtaken in the fault, the Bible says that those of us who are spiritual should go and restore that person. But the first thing we do is we go to condemning folks. Come on now. Now understand, you know, if leaders fall and everything like that, there's a greater responsibility upon them. You know, but even so, we should be wise enough and loving enough to know that even though, yes, what they're doing is wrong, and even though God judges by exposing it publicly, amen, remember that they're a soul too. If they ask for forgiveness and mean it from their heart, God will forgive them too. You see. So what we ought to be praying is, you know, even if God exposes them, we ought to be praying that they repent. Come on now. And the ones that they call to fall short, they repent and be restored also. Amen. You know, I didn't come with no big, huge revelation tonight. I didn't come with no mysteries and no keys, no heavy vision, you know, that the Lord showed me. I didn't come with all that. Amen. The Lord wants his people to know that because love is not in the church like it's supposed to be, people are being lost. And see, we can't advance the kingdom unless we have the character of the kingdom. I like that. See, unless we have the character of God, God ain't backing us in nothing that we do. Nothing. Nothing. So God is looking for character in this hour. Amen. The Bible says that the world will know that we belong to Christ by our love for one another. Those Jesus words himself, the head apostle himself, Jesus, the high priest and apostle of our profession, amen, author and finisher of our faith, the word made flesh. In the beginning, the word was with God, and the word was God, amen. Come on now. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We're talking about Jesus himself. He said that. Come on now. I want to read further. Amen. It says, charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Understand the word charity means love. Love is not envious. Love don't hate on what another person got, thinking that you deserve it, but they got it. No. Love is going to be happy for that person. But hey, love is going to be happy. Come on now. Love not going to be jealous when somebody else getting blessed. Come on now. Love is not going to put somebody else down because you got and they don't. Love is not going to do that. Come on now. We're talking about the character of the kingdom of God here. And so many people take the love thing as a light thing. Amen? And it's really one of the most important things, the most important attributes you ever have in your life. Because without love, you can't do nothing for God. Nothing. I remember I used to, one day, the Holy Ghost got on me real bad one day because I would outline all the scriptures in my Bible, because, you know, well, I've had several Bibles. I done went through like 3-4 of them already, you know, because I do my Bibles, and I write all in them and stuff like that, you know, and I end up having to getting a new one. But, praise God, I was outlining, you know, all kind of scriptures and stuff like that, and I would skip over the love scriptures. I really did. I'm being honest. I'm telling on myself now, y'all. I would skip over the love scriptures. And one day the Holy Ghost got on me so bad he convicted me. He said, you are highlighting every other scripture except the part that talks about love. And see, the part that you don't highlight is the part that you got an issue with. Hey, man, how many know that if you have the Holy Spirit, he will correct you and deal with you? That's why I don't understand folks, the Holy Ghost folks got this these days. Or the ghost, amen, because the Holy Ghost going to convict you of sin or stuff that he don't like that you're doing about your life. He going to just tell you all good stuff and have you prophesying all kind of stuff that people then never correct you. Amen. Amen. The Bible said God chastens those he loves. He chastises you. He punishes you. He corrects you. He gets you right. Come on now. Now, some of us try to ignore it, but, I mean, you know, why ignore a loving father that loves you and that wants you to get it right? Amen. You know, but I used to skip over all the love scriptures, highlight all kind of little stuff I wanted to highlight. And then, you know, God started dealing with me on my love walk. God began to show me that I wasn't as loving and humble as I thought I was. you know, sometimes you just think you all that, you know, you think you've arrived at a certain place, amen, and, you know, but really, you know, most folks that think like that, you know, they're a long ways off. And understand that we're going to constantly, continually be perfected as long as we're upon the earth, amen. We're going to constantly be perfected. God's going to constantly be refining our character, but we got to start somewhere. We got to start moving in this love thing, amen. As God began to deal with me about areas in my heart, areas of hurt, it was a lot of things that kept me from loving like I wanted to. It was areas of hurt, amen, and I suffered a lot of rejection in my life. So a lot of times when people are rejected, they put up a defense. You see, most folks that are mean or they act a certain way, it's not that that's their real personality. It's a defense because they've been hurt so many times. And that defense mechanism keeps them from being hurt again. They put that up because they don't want to be hurt again. I've been there, you know. And even, you know, when people go through that, it'll even cause them, when somebody genuinely wants to help them, it'll cause them to reject that person's help too, because they'll think in their mind, because of the hurt that they've experienced, that that person is trying to hurt them, when really that person ain't doing nothing but trying to help. Come on now. I've been in that situation before. Amen. And God had to deal with me about a lot of stuff. He had to deal with about a lot of stuff. You know, a lot of rejection I had, you know, father-wise, parent-wise, and, you know, a couple other even childhood issues. Believe it or not, some folks are still dealing with childhood stuff. Some folks are still living their lives around when they got teased when they was a child. So that defense mechanism is still at work in their lives today, and they're 30 and 40 and 50 years old. Unresolved issues. Come on now. And they can't love because they didn't feel love themselves. That's why the love of God has to come in. Come on, Jesus. That's why the love of God has to come in. And once he reveals his love to you, you respond to that love and faith, and then he begins to show you how to love as you continue to move in his grace. Because only a loving Savior will allow you to move in grace. Because remember, in grace, your flaws, I mean, God began to work those things out of you. He's patient with us. He's constantly patient with us, constantly causing the Holy Spirit to daily do a perfect work on the inside of us. Daily. Amen. Let me go back down. It says, charity suffers long in time. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Love is not arrogant. Love is not prideful. Come on now. Too many folks, the reason why they can't get along is because they're arrogant and prideful. Come on now. A lot of marriages fail because either one or both parties fail to humble themselves. Come on now. Love don't brag and boast. Love is appreciative of what God has done. Come on now. In their life and just want to extend it to others. I thank God that he's gotten me to that place, amen. Because I'm going to tell you something. I was a cold person. I really was. You know, not realizing I was cool. I thought I was humble. I thought I was good. Come on now. I didn't think I was perfect, but I thought I was almost near. How many of us ever been there? Well, we act like we got it together. We say out of our mouth that, you know, I'm not perfect. You know, that's a little religious, little false humility thing. But then our actions show otherwise. we think we the stuff. Yeah. Come on, Jesus, we think we the stuff. Love does not puff itself up. Love is not arrogant. Come on now. Because understand, I is in the middle of pride. Love has nothing to do with you. Not as far as you being the center of everything. And I'm going to get into that in a minute. Love is not puffed up. Amen. It does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. Wow. Love seeketh not her own. Love is not selfish. Love is all. When a person is walking in love, they're constantly giving to others. Come on now. They're not constantly thinking about what am I going to get out the deal. And that's what so many of us, oh my God, especially in ministry, we always think that we're supposed to get something out the deal. Jesus said, freely receive, freely you have received, freely give, right? Freely you receive, freely give. But so many of us want to hold everything to themselves. You know, I've seen leaders, my God, I've seen leaders in the church, so much giftings that God has given them in the house, and they're well overdue. I understand there's a process and everything. You know, I understand that. I believe every minister is supposed to be processed. I strongly believe that. You know, I believe that you can't, you know, go in the ministry unless you're prepared. But some of these folks are long overdue. But they try to keep everything for themselves because they don't want nobody else to go forth. You see, because it'll take all of the attention off of them. That's a scary thing. All leaders are not like this, but you got some that are. Amen. You know, I know I'm not fussing and yelling today, amen. I'm not hollering and screaming and, you know, speaking in tongues every 5 seconds, amen. But we need to get this down pat. And see, these messages right here that folks don't want to hear, it bores them. Love messages bore them because they really don't desire to possess the character of God. Oh, it used to bore me too. I ain't gonna lie to you. I wanted to hear the deep stuff. You know, I didn't want to hear about love. I didn't want to hear about, amen. I didn't want to hear about, you know, your character. I didn't want to hear about all that at first. You know, I just want the deep mysteries, you know. I wanted to be caught up in the third heaven, amen. I wanted to be where Paul was. Come on now. Don't act like you never been there before. I'm just talking today. Amen. I'm just talking to you today. Amen. I used to want to know all the deep things of God. I used to lay out on the floor, you know, wanting to hear a word from God and everything I get. You know, I used to be one of them prophets that you know, tell everything that they hear. I learned my lesson now. Amen. But I used to be one of them prophets that tell everything they want to hear. And then one day somebody told me, they said, look, you know, you talking about you called in the ministry, but you need to make sure that your life is lined up with the will of God. You need to ask yourself every day, Lord, have I walked up right before you today? And it convicted me. And it really got me, you know. But God kind of had to calm me down, too, because I was off the chain. Well, if I saw, I was one of them prophets where I saw someone right, I will tell you one right. And I will have that finger of judgment pointing at you. You don't get it right, you need to repent. You know, that ain't God. But then come to find out it was certain areas of my life that won't God either. Amen. Come on now. I had some character issues. I still had some hurt. And a lot of times we tend to prophesy or give words out of our hurt. Or a lot of times we could be given an accurate word, but our hurt comes across in the word that we're given. And that begins to become a damage in the lives of other people. Amen. So character is very important. Because when you have character, then you'll know when to be firm. Because, see, wisdom comes with character. It does. Wisdom comes with character. And you'll know when to be firm, when to baby them up. Come on now. And be nurturing and loving to them. Come on now. You'll know what to do. You'll know what to say, how to say it. Especially prophets. You know, prophets, I noticed prophets, they really need character checks. Really do, because, you know, when I started off as a prophet, I had no character. You know, even though the Holy Spirit was working in my life and God was giving me a lot of stuff and he was speaking to me, I had no character. My character was zero to no. Amen. My character was low to no. I had no character. And then people begin to notice that. It's not that what I was saying was wrong, but it was my character. Understand Balaam in the Bible. My God. Balaam was a false prophet and a sorcerer. He spoke accurate prophecies. Come on now. Matter of fact, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, if I'm wrong, please forgive me, but I believe that he was one of the first ones that gave the prophecy about Christ, other than the one in Genesis about the seed of the woman and all that. So he spoke very accurately. Matter of fact, you look up a little history on Balaam, you will find out that he was known for speaking curses over people or speaking things, and it came to pass. See, remember, what makes you real is not your gift, but it's your fruit. Come on now. Your fruit got to go along with your gift. See, so many of us, we want the gift. Come on now. We want to be able to prophesy, lay hands, folk fall out. Amen. But we don't want no fruit. We don't want God to make our character. We don't want the Holy Ghost to correct us. Come on now. We don't want to be corrected. We just want to go forth and just do what we want to do and present any and everything unto God. The devil is a liar. God will not accept any and everything. God will accept it his way and his way only. And if we don't do it his way, then there's no way. His way is we got to have some character. Amen. Have some character now. Let me read a little further, amen. It says, it does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, that means it's not selfish, love is not selfish, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. So when somebody make you upset and, you know, you holler about, man, I just wish she would blank, 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 and such and such. You know, there's even folks in the church that wish death on people. Now, you got to be careful what you come out to your mouth, because life and death is in the power of the tongue. First of all, if you're a child of God, you shouldn't be wishing death on nobody. You shouldn't be wishing nothing happen to nobody. Come on now. Love don't speak evil. Come on now. I've been in situations and have even heard folks say, like, when folks leave their church, when pastors, you know, when they membership leave their church, some members leave their church, you know, they talk about they are the will of God and, you know, all their sickness going to come back on them, or, you know, you know they going such and such going to happen to them and such and such and such and such going to happen to that because they did not lead the right way and they left out the will of God and all this other stuff. That's not love. That's not even the love of God. Come on now. See, we got to know, my God, the difference. Because, see, our character, we're going to be judged according to our character, not by our works. We're going to be judged according to our character. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What's in you is going to govern you. So God's going to judge the inside. Because the Bible says man looks on the outside, but God searches the realms of a man's heart. So we got to begin to get the love of God down in our heart. Because if we don't, we're going to be in some serious trouble. You know, you know how you're going to be able to tell who's real and who's fake in these last days? Character. character, because there's many people that got gifts. Come on now. Witch doctors got gifts. Oh, let me say that again. Because, see, we said we get so caught up in gifts. Come on now. Why do you think somebody can go to a witch doctor and they give them something to drink and they be and they recover from their sickness, huh? Come on now. There's a dark side, too. Come on now. Don't you know Satan know how to imitate the anointed? He was once the anointed cherub that covered, so he know what the anointing is like. He stayed in the presence of God, so he know what the presence of God feel like, what the presence of God can do in an individual's life. So what did he do? He mimicked and imitated. Come on, Jesus. He mimicked and imitated. So what's going to happen in these last days is God is going to begin to reveal character. Come on now. There's a lot of prophets out there that are still using their gift to manipulate the women and sleep around. That's not the character of God. I don't care how accurate your gift is. I don't care if you speak and it come to pass the next minute. Come on now. God watches over his word to perform it. Don't you think Satan watch over his too? Being that he want to be like God, so he try to do everything God does? Don't be impressed by a gift. A demon can prophesy. A demon can tell you everything that you want to hear. A demon can tell you personal, intimate stuff about yourself. Why you think psychics make so much money? You think folks going to be going to psychics if they're not accurate? I know I'm touching some nerves here. Yeah. Some folks that are Christians. Some folks that are Christians with the psychics. Come on now. So God is not concerned about your gift. He's concerned about your character, man. We got to get this thing right. Because like I say, we're losing souls in the kingdom of God. My God. Let me go back down. It says, does not behave itself unseemly, speak if not of her own, not easily provoked, think if no evil. Talking about love here now. Rejoice if not in iniquity, but rejoice in the what? The truth. I like this one. Rejoice not in iniquity. Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Come on now. So when we say we love God, but we continually make a habitual habit of doing those things that displease God, then the Bible says we don't love God. The Bible teaches that. I'm talking about habitual now, a continuing thing. And we all know that when you do something continually, it becomes a lifestyle. So proof that we love God is going to be in our lifestyle. It's going to be in our character. And as ministers of the gospel, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, we have to make sure that our lifestyles are totally lined up with the will of God. We have to make sure that our lives are totally submitted to the things of God. Because a lot of folks being exposed in this hour, you know, and they're being exposed as preaching one thing but living another. Come on, Jesus. You know, I didn't come like I came the last two segments. Amen. Because God said we got to get this right. If we don't have this, we don't have nothing. Oh, let me say that again. That kind of felt good. If we don't possess the love of God in our hearts, we have nothing. We don't have God. We don't. I'll prove it to you in Scripture in just a minute. The Bible commands us to be rooted in love. Matter of fact, I'm going to just turn to Ephesians 3. I'm going to just turn to it. You know, I still let it turn to it, so I'm going to just be obedient to the Spirit of God and turn to it. Amen. Because this is something that I can't rush through. I'm sorry. You know, folks get bored with the love message, but, you know, like I said, I used to get bored with the love message too. Why? Because I didn't have love. Now I know I got it. I get excited. Jesus, I get excited because, see, I know that the love of God is being perfected in my heart. Come on now. But it took me a while to get there. Don't get me wrong. Because I went out there prophesying and, you know, laying hands on folks and, you know, even seeing signs happening, and then God began to deal with me by my character. He began to show me that I wasn't as nice as I thought I was. I wasn't as humble as I thought I was. I wasn't as loving and concerned as I thought I was. And so many of us in the body of Christ, even leaders, have to get to that place where we be able to recognize, come on now, that we're not who we say we are. I had to get to that place, and I'm pretty sure plenty of other people had to get there too. Amen. Ephesians 3, real quick. Ephesians 3, starting at verse 17. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Then I was talking about faith. It said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of who? God. No love, no God. Yeah. That's plain and simple right there. No love, no God. I don't care how much you prophesy. I don't care how much you speak in tongues. I don't care how much you lay hands on the sick and see them recovered. I don't care how much ministry you do, how much money you give, how much money you got. I don't care about none of that. God don't care about none of it either. Amen. If you don't have the love of God, if you can't treat your neighbor right, come on now. If you know your brother got a grudge against you and you can't get it right with that person, come on now. And you go into bed every night with that same grudge when the Bible says don't let the sun go down upon your wrath? Huh? And you want to be a man or woman of God? You want to be a Christian? You want to call yourself a believer? No. You can't believe one part of the scripture and not believe the other part. Now, we're talking about advancing the kingdom here, but you can't advance the kingdom unless you have the character of the kingdom, the character of God. No love, no God. When you begin to move in the love of God, you're filled with the fullness of God. Amen. You know, we don't like that love message. We don't. We really don't. We want to continue to prophesy. We want to continue to move in the things of God. We want to tell other folks what to do. We want to tell other folks that they need to start loving one another. Come on now. But you and Bishop Joe, two states away, still beefing with each other over some money. Come on now. Can't even come to a resolution. Can't even come to a place where both of y'all can sit down. Come on now. And talk this thing out and solve this problem like men and women of God. But you on the radio and TV talking about him, he on the radio and TV talking about you, and y'all two just going at it. Come on now. This is worse than Jerry Springer. And I know Jerry Springer, that show's a demon from hell. And some Christians need to stop watching that. Because if you love God, you love what he loves and hate what he hates. The same thing that agreed God. Uh-oh. I'm going to get in trouble here. The same thing that grieved God, come on now, is going to grieve you. It's certain stuff I can't watch on television. I really can't. It's certain clothes I can't even wear. Come on now. See, when you love what God loves, hate what he hates, then you know that you really love God. Get back to that in just a minute. Amen. Now, understand this. In order to be able to love somebody else, you have to come to the realization that God loves you. You can't give something that you don't have. If you have not accepted the love of God in your life, you cannot love nobody else. Let me say that again. If you have not accepted the love of God in your life, in your heart, because understand that, and this goes back all the way back to the foundation of a being in the kingdom. Amen. This goes all the way back to what we should have learned. This goes all the way back to what we should have learned when we first decided to give our lives to God. That when the gospel is presented to you, understand the gospel about Jesus and his kingdom. Come on now. When the gospel is presented to you, come on now, the love of God is revealed in that because Jesus came, you know, died on the cross, you know, took our place, you know, on the cross for the punishment of our sin. He came to establish a kingdom rule, which everybody has an opportunity to be in through Jesus Christ, right? In the kingdom, you can be healed, delivered. You don't got to have no demons. You don't got to have no sicknesses. You know, your family can be saved. You know, all these benefits because God loved the world. The Bible says God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Right? That if we believe on him, we shall not perish but have everlasting life, right? That's what it says. So if the love of God is revealed by him sending his Son to make all this available for us, right? So when we come to that realization, come on now, and begin to respond to that, come on now, and begin to move in faith, knowing for sure that God loves me, then he begins to show you how to love him and those that are around you. But first, you got to get it in you. I'm going to tell you something. God dealt with me a while ago. I can honestly say in my personal walk, now I can't speak for nobody else, but I can honestly say in my personal walk with God that I know without a shadow of a doubt that I love God. I'm going to tell you something. I've kicked some folks to the curb behind God. I mean friends and all, people that I was close with. You know, God told me to let them go. I let them go. Friends and all, kicked them to the curb, sure did. You know, because only God knows the motive of a person's heart. And then some things came out later on. You see, if you love God, you're going to do what he says. Come on now. But we got so many folks that's not doing what God say, but they're claiming that they're loving God. I don't know why God had me to go here, but I'm going with him. Because I'm trying to get to something else, and he's still on this. Because he really wants us to get this. Because understand that there's a harvest coming in the kingdom of God. Matter of fact, it's already happening. But it's going to happen on a greater measure and a greater scale. And he's really trying to prepare us. He is really trying to prepare us to receive the people of God. Well, really, the harvest is coming in the kingdom, and only the ones in the kingdom is going to receive it anyway. Amen. But we've been running these folks off. You know, folks leave the church because they say no love. Folks been running off and, you know, going back into their life of sin, I understand that a person's walk should not be based upon what another person does. However, when you're dealing with babes in Christ, a lot of them don't grasp that. They don't understand that. You see, some of them. You got some of them, amen, that are holding on pretty well. But most of them go back out there. Most of them go back out there. Everybody's different. I've been running into a lot of wounded folks lately. Wounded folks from the church. They say the church have no love. That's why they went back out in the streets doing what they're doing, because if God act like this, they don't want none of it. They don't want none of it. I'm serious. So what does that say about us? Come on now. What does that say about us? We're supposed to be of God, and we're running people away from God. I mentioned that scripture earlier about the Pharisees, when Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, you don't enter into the kingdom of God, and you keep other people from entering. My goodness. If you're not in something, that don't mean you keep somebody else from entering in. Amen. You got to get this love thing down packed before we end up losing some more folks. And whoever's the cause of them running back in the street, that blood is on your hands. It really is. That blood is on your hands. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus said that we're going to be known if we are his disciples by our love for one another. Come on now. But what I'm seeing now is no love at all. Why is that? I said I didn't come with no big revelation tonight, amen. I just came to talk. Amen. I just came to, you know, really get, make sure you get this down in your spirit. You know, we don't like the love message. We love to hear about the prosperity. Understand that, you know, if your character ain't right, God ain't gonna give you no money. The devil might give you something to make you think it's God. Come on now. Because there's a such thing as false prosperity, and that's what a lot of people are seeing now is false prosperity. But you're going to know the real deal when it comes, because it's going to overshadow them little nickels and pennies and all that little bit of stuff the devil trying to give you to keep you content and complacent in your current state. Amen. The devil got some folks fooled, I'm telling you. Folks keep going and writing them people, getting them green handkerchiefs and them red handkerchiefs and that miracle water and that prophetic soap. Prophetic soap, Jesus help me. Keep getting all this stuff. And if you're seeing something, it's the devil. Believe that. Because God's not going to give nothing to you until you're able, mature enough in the spirit to handle what he's giving you. Because, see, if you're not walking in the love of God, if God gives you something, all you're going to do is spend it on yourself. You might give a little dime here and there to somebody, but all you're going to do is spend it on yourself. When you love God, if God gives you $1 million a day and he tells you to sow it into somebody else's life, you're going to do it. Why? Because you love God. And you realize that he owned everything anyway. So what he's given you is not yours anyway to keep. That's if you love God. Come on now. A whole bunch of folks now are getting blessed with stuff and their characters are not built. And you think that's God? Come on now. Just ask yourself that. Is that really God? See, Satan has a counterfeit to everything. See, Satan will bless you as long as you work for him. Mm-hmm. He don't care if you work for him in the church. He don't care if you work for him in the street or whatever. If you work for him, he gonna try to keep you in that place. Especially if you're a child of God. Come on now. So we must be rooted and grounded in love. We must be rooted in the love of God. Because if not, we're going to lose everything that God got for us. We really are. I'm talking about us individuals. Because, see, the kingdom going to be advanced. Come on now. God already got a people. He already got a remnant. Come on now, that he's making on the backside of the mountain. Come on now. Waiting for them to be revealed at the appointed time. Come on now. He got a remnant. So the kingdom will go forth with or without me, with or without you. The kingdom of God is going to go forth. It's already been written. Come on now. And God will make sure it come to pass. Matter of fact, it was written before the foundation even began. So God got a remnant. Amen. God is just trying to get us to a place where we can be a part of what God is doing in this house. He's just trying to get us to a place where we can be a part of what he's doing. Amen. And that's love by itself. Because some folks, my goodness, Some of us have not done anything to deserve nothing. You know, some of us don't even, you know, according to the natural, if we look at it in the natural, a lot of us don't even deserve to be a part of what God is doing in this house because of what some of us have done thus far. Come on now. But there's love right there because he's offering deliverance. He's offering him. He's offering, you know, giving us a chance to get in the right place in him. I mean, one day the Lord spoke to me. He said, in this hour, I'm judging the heart of men. That's all I'm judging in this hour is the heart of man. And what's in the dark, whether it be good or bad, is going to come to the light. Uh-huh. What folks got hidden in the darkness, from the highest place to the lowest place. Come on now. From the pulpit to the pews, it's going to be made known. In this hour, it's going to be made known. Yeah, because, see, too much time has been wasted, and we should already have this down packed by now. We shouldn't be losing people in the kingdom. Well, I'm going to say the church, because a lot of people that have been in the church have not been in the kingdom. There's a difference. You know, I'll get into that another time. Another time, amen. But God is good. You know why? I thank God because, and I can only speak for myself, that even in the midst of me having a spirit of condemnation, always pointing the finger at other people, wanting to be the judge of other people, even in the midst of all that, God saw that I wanted to do right. He saw that I wanted, come on now, to be right with him. So therefore, he got me right. As soon as he spoke it, I adhered to it. And it's another thing, too, that a lot of people are doing, and I'm noticing, and it's very dangerous, especially in this hour here, is that a lot of folks, they're ignoring the Holy Spirit. You can't ignore the voice of the Holy Spirit. When he tells you something wrong, you better adhere to it. Because once he stops telling you, you know, that you're wrong in this area, your spirit ain't right in that area, come on now, that's when you need to be afraid. Because that means, that tells me that you're at a state now where you have a reprobated mind. That means God can't tell you nothing and nobody else can't tell you nothing either. That's a very dangerous place to be. Very dangerous place to be. Amen. I want to go back to 1 Corinthians 13 real quick. I just want to read one more scripture. It says, let me see, I'm going to read verse 7. It says, it's still talking about love now. It says, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. That means love put up with stuff that, you know, you wouldn't normally put up with, but because you're walking in love, amen, you're gonna put up with it until God do away with it. Amen. I've been there. Amen. Charity never faileth. Charity means love, once again. It says, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Come on now. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. I'm glad that, you know, I read that part right there. For we know in part and prophesy in part. Because understand this, you know, the love of God, understand that when you're walking in the love of God, you know, you also understand that, you know, you don't have it all together. Mm-hmm. And the gift of God that he's bestowed upon your life by his grace, you know, is more appreciated when you recognize God's love for you, knowing that you have not done anything to earn it. It makes you want to love God more. Come on now. It says we know in part and we prophesy in part. That meaning that we don't have it all. Come on now. What God has given us is just a portion. But you got so many one-man bands now that's out there, and they think that they have it all together. Amen. You know, they feel like they have it all. you know, and everybody got to come through them. You know, you got someone that's nutty and crazy out there like that. And I just want to put that out there, that there are no one-man bands. No prophet is an island to himself. Amen. You know, you may have lonely moments and lonely seasons, but best believe, Elijah, you're not the only one that got everything. Come on now. He had plenty of other ones that got the same thing you got. And so, and a lot of them got more in-depth revelation of it than you do. Yeah, I just want to put that out there because there's so many one-man bands out there now. So many people are thinking that they got it all, or so many people being puffed up because of the revelation that they get. The devil is a liar. You know, God ain't in that. There's plenty of other prophets and apostles he got out there too. Amen. We need to recognize that. That means if you think that you're the only one, that means there's something wrong in your character. That's not the love of God. Come on now. Because if you truly had the character of God, you would recognize that, I'm not the only one. God got others. You're not the only one moving forth in demonstration of the kingdom. You're not the only one in the kingdom. You're not the gateway to the kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to go down to verse 13. It says, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity, or love. These three. But the greatest of these is what? Charity. The greatest character, the greatest anything that you could ever have is the love of God. My God. And then I read this scripture earlier. It says, you know, follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. No. Go back up to verse 1. It said, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become a sounding brass and a tickling cymbal. Your gifts don't matter. God's not concerned about how well you prophesy. Once again, I had to put that back out there again. Because he said, faith out of faith, hope, and love. Love is the greatest. Because the Bible says faith works by love. So if you don't have love, you can't really have faith. Because it works by love. Amen. And you want to know if you really, really, really love God for real? The Bible says no greater love is that when a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13, right? I have not seen nobody operating that kind of love yet. Nobody. I've not seen nobody. The only person I've seen do that is Jesus. Because all of us have been guilty of that, amen. We lay down most of our lives, but I've not seen nobody yet lay down their whole entire life. And those that do lay it down, they pick it right back up. Once you lay something down, you leave it there. Amen. We have to begin to lay our lives down, especially us as leaders. We have to begin to lay our lives down for the people of God. Come on now. Don't mean we're going to be crucified on the stake. Amen. But understand that, you know, it's a sacrifice. And those that really walk in true love of God understand the sacrifice that is going to take for the people of God to be free. I'm seeing a lot of leaders laying down their lives for a moment and then picking it back up. They get tired. So they go back and they pick up whatever they had before. No, you got to continue to lay it down and wait on God to do whatever it is he got to do. This thing is not about us. It's about the people of God being delivered. It's about the kingdom of God being established on this earth. It's about the kingdom being demonstrated through the people of God that he's chosen in his hour. Come on now. It is about the kingdoms of this world becoming the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. That's what it's about. It's not about us. We as leaders, we can't be selfish. And I'm seeing a lot of selfish leaders putting a lot of emphasis on themselves. And God is going to judge that in his hour. You know, because you can't put emphasis on yourself, and then the people of God are being neglected. They're not getting what they need spiritually. Yes, yes, they're supposed to respect the call and the anointing and all of that stuff, okay? They are supposed to submit to authority. Yes, they are. However, you don't put yourself up as a God. And I've seen that done, too, where the leader puts so much emphasis on themselves, and it's a lot of people that do it. I've seen it done so many times. The leader put themselves as a God. They put all the emphasis on them, and you're the subjects, and they're the rulers. The devil is a lie. You know what? The Bible says that the apostles and the prophets are the foundation of the house of God. The foundation, right? You know where a foundation is at? It's at the lowest part of the house. I like that. Come on now. But the foundation is what holds everything up. So if you are an apostle or prophet and you want to be on top, come on now. That says a lot about your character. But a real apostle and prophet knows that you got to go low in order to build up. Come on now. The apostles and the prophets ought to be the most humblest folks in the church. They ought to be the most humblest folks in the fivefold ministry. Come on now. Paul said, sometimes I think that us apostles are set aside to be last. Because it sure felt like it to Paul. Amen. Now, he's an apostle. He's the highest in the kingdom of God. Now, he's the governor of the kingdom. He's one of the governors of the kingdom of God going around establishing. And he said, man, it looked like I feel like I'm the lowest thing on a totem pole. Really, in reality, he's the highest, but he felt like he was the lowest one. Come on now. Because the apostles, the real apostles, are not respected by the world. They're not respected by religious figures, prophets too, amen. So I don't get when all these apostles and prophets trying to be accepted by the world, trying to be accepted by the known religious system of today. Amen? I'll get into that another segment, but I wanted to make that point that if you're trying to be on top, that goes to show that love right there is not in your character. Makeup. Amen? Apostles ought to be low. Prophets ought to be low. Yes, we walk in great authority, but we walk in humility and brokenness before the Lord. Understand, King David, when God addressed King David, he didn't call King David, oh, David, King of Israel. He said, my servant David. Come on now. Every time the Lord addressed David, he addressed David as his servant. He addressed David as this old magnificent king. Come on now. The Lord chastised David just like he chastised everybody else. Come on now. He didn't see David no different. David just had a different position. Get into that another time. But I'm finna wrap this thing up, amen. I just appreciate everybody that had listened today. You know, I see Apostle Hill on there. Praise God. God bless you. I see that you logged in. It's always a pleasure. You know, I enjoyed your segment last time, amen. You just blessed me, amen, just by you being on here. Apostle McQueen and Prophetess McQueen, God bless y'all. Amen. Will, God bless you too. Amen. And, you know, I just pray that, you know, God continue to increase you all, you know, in the things of God. You know, I really feel honored that you all would be on the show, Apostle McQueen. You know, you truly blessed me last time you was on here. Amen. That was a very powerful segment. You know, but God is really doing a powerful work in this hour. He's continually to refine, you know, the leadership in the body of Christ. You know, I'm noticing that he's getting last-minute stuff out of us, amen. you know, because this is my God, this is a powerful time. And see, what God has to do is He has to prepare us for the move of God that's ahead. See, God is moving now, but He is preparing us, you know, for what's ahead. Amen. He's preparing us because the Lord showed me that there's even going to be a battle that's ahead, a terrible warfare that's ahead. And what He's doing is He's preparing us as a people now of the kingdom to begin to move effectively in the things of the kingdom. You know, and character, you know, is very, very important. You know, and I'm noticing, you know, God had put in my spirit to really do this because a lot of character, like even of those in leadership, you know, are not lining up with the things of the kingdom. And I've seen a lot of people, I've ministered to a lot of people that have fallen by the wayside, you know, as the result of this. And it really grieves my spirit, you know, to really see this thing going on and see this thing happening, amen, because we're losing souls, we're losing people. Amen. We're losing people, and God is going to hold those accountable who are causing the sheep to be scattered. You know, God in this hour, you know, he's really not, you know, playing concerning this. He really loves His people, and if you mess with His people, amen. You know, some folks are in trouble because when you mess with God's people, amen, then God begins to mess with you, amen. And, you know, the love of God is so important. And for those who are listening or will be listening, you know, we have to continue to let God mold us and shape us. Stop jumping on and off the potter's wheel. Yes, it don't feel good. Yes, God show you all your ugliness on the inside. Yes, God show you that you're prideful, you're puffed up, you got a nasty mouth. But let Him clean it up. Come on now. He don't show you stuff about you to hurt you. He showed you stuff about you to help you. Come on now, I had to go through that too. Amen. And I can honestly say that God is still getting last minute little kinks out of me. Come on now, I told God I want to be right. I don't want to minister to His people and then I'm imparting stuff or putting stuff on the people. The devil is a liar. When I'm supposed to be ministering, delivering some imparting stuff, the devil is a liar. You know, I want my character to be right, man. You know what I'm saying? Most pastors not going to sit there and tell you that you know, God's still, you know, doing a work, or, you know, most pastors not going to tell you that they're not perfect. Most pastors not going to tell you that. You know what I'm saying? And they got a soul just like you. You know, they have a soul salvation that they're working out too. You know, I remember Paul saying, look, don't let me pour out everything upon the people, and then I'll be utterly cast away too. Come on now. Amen. So, you know, everybody from the fivefold ministry on down got to be honest with themselves. You know, because really, if you don't have the character of God, I mean, you're not in the kingdom. I mean, you can be in church, you go to church, but as far as being in the kingdom, no. You know, your character is very important. You know, Balaam had accurate prophecies. He had gifts, but no character. And being that he had no character, Satan was able to come in and pervert his gifts and use his gifts, and then he ends up operating in divination. Come on now, and end up coming against the people, end up trying to come against the people of God. It didn't work because the people of God was holy, amen, at that time. Amen. They had character at that time until, you know, they allowed, you know, Satan to come in and tempt them with other stuff, and then what they gained, they lost. You know, one thing about it was, you know, David, he made some mistakes, don't get me wrong. He made some mistakes, but God said he was a man after his own heart. Why? Because David loved God. And when you love God and you realize you messed up with God, you'll genuinely feel sorry for it and you'll never do it again. But some folks go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth in sin. Come on now. They go back and forth because really They're not sorry. I'm not talking about sinners, you know, I'm talking about the ones that have been in church for a while. You know, there shouldn't be no bondage in the kingdom. God is not going to leave you in bondage. Come on now, if you don't want to be in bondage, what kind of God is that? I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give you my testimony. When I first came into the things of God, when I first began to really respond to the things of God, because I began to realize the love that God had for me, you know, and I respond in faith to that, then I begin to move in the grace of God. And the first thing that went was the alcohol, the weed, that went one day. It didn't take nobody oiling me down, throwing me on the floor, and casting a demon out of me. It just left. Amen. It just left. But one thing I didn't want to let go was the cigarettes. See, I liked it that. I took pleasure in it. You know, but as I began to, you know, seek God more and know that he didn't want that in my life, come on now. I remember when I got tired, I told God, I said, I don't want to smoke no more. And there's plenty of times before that I told God I didn't want to smoke no more, but I really didn't mean it. I wasn't tired. And then when I really was tired, I told God I didn't want to smoke no more. And the next morning I woke up, I ain't had no craving. I ain't smoked since. Ain't nobody had to push me on the floor, push my head in the ground, talking about come out. Anybody had to oil me down with olive oil, you know. Ain't nobody to put no cloth on my face, because some folks do stuff like that. You know, they do all kind of extreme stuff, amen. None of that had to happen. Why? Because I was sincere. The love of God began to flow in my life. God started changing my heart. You know, he started removing all that coldness and all that stuff from the world. He began to wash it off me. Come on now. Because I responded to his love for me. And then he began to teach me how to love. See, love can only come from God. See, you have man's version of love. And man's love will always be conditional. Always. Man's love will always be conditional. But the love of God is unconditional. The love of God don't care about your flaws. It don't care about your mistakes. It don't care about your past. Come on now. Love don't hold that against you. You find somebody holding your past against you. You find somebody, you know, always condemning you. Come on now. That's not the love of God. It's not. That has happened to me, and I've been guilty of that myself. And God had to show me I was wrong. Come on now. He's chasing those he loves, right? Some of us ignore the chastisement, but it is what it is. Amen. I just want to read a couple more scriptures, and then I'm going to close this out. You know, because folks need to know that God commands us to love. Amen. He commands us to love. Matthew 5 and 44. I'm going to read it. Matthew 5:44. It says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you, and what? Persecute you. It didn't say retaliate. Come on, Jesus. It didn't say retaliate. It didn't say, you know, render evil for evil. It didn't say an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. We ain't in Old Testament times no more. Come on now. Jesus broke the whole law, Ten Commandments, everything down into two. Love God first with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is the whole, love is the whole fulfillment of the law, period. If you walk in love, you won't have to worry about doing all this stuff that displeases God. Because when you begin to walk in the love of God, you begin to love what he loves and hate what he hates. Like I said earlier, there's certain stuff I can't watch on TV. I've heard of Christians watching Jerry Springer and Maury Povich. How can you watch that? You know, stuff that grieves the Holy Spirit, that goes to show about your character. Because if you partake in all of that, come on now, that shows your character. There's certain movies I can't watch. There's even certain Christian movies I can't watch. I'm not going to get into that today, man, as bad as I want to. Yeah, certain Christian movies I can't watch. You know, whole bunch of worldliness and compromise. And another thing I'm noticing, too, is just a strong spirit of compromise creeping in. And you know who is creeping in on? Or who it has crept in on? The ones who are not walking in the love of God. The ones whose character sucks. Come on now. God is not going to take you somewhere where your character can't keep you. I'm going to say that again. God is not going to take you somewhere where your character cannot keep you. That's why God got to make you first before he take you places. Now, a lot of folks have been made by God, and God lifted them up, and, you know, they got prideful and arrogant in their character. They went back to their old ways, but they can't say God didn't make them, you know, and to get them to that place. God going to make you first. God going to make sure you're broken. God going to make sure that heart of stone is turned to a heart of flesh. God going to make sure you're straight before he takes you to anywhere. You tell me, I'm going to the nations. Before you go to the nation, you need to go to the altar. You need to lay out. Come on now. You need to cry. Get broken. Ask God to make you over. God is not taking you to the nation with an arrogant attitude. God is not going to take you to the nations, and you can't even get along. You can't even get along with evangelist so-and-so. And you tell my mom, prophetess so-and-so, and I'm going to the nations, and, you know, she upset my authority, I'm hiding her. The devil is a liar. You need to go somewhere, sit down somewhere, and be made by God. Get on the potter's wheel, and don't get off until God pick you off the potter's wheel and say, look, this is the vessel that I'm well pleased with. Now you can go forth to the nations. See, we make our process long because we keep going on and off and on and off. We make our process long. Come on now. Amen. You know, folks don't like to hear about being still waiting and letting God make you. Come on now. Folks just want to just go off and just go to the nations and be in ministry, and folks just want to, you know, they just want a microwave. God is not a microwave God. Amen. He don't do stuff on our time. He don't do stuff when we think it ought to be done. He don't do stuff according to our pace. Mm-hmm. You know, how God sees stuff is not even how we see it. Come on now. We need to start looking at it from God's perspective and stop looking at it from ours. God is not like man. And that saying is true. So man want everything quick, but God say, hey, you're going to wait for this. You're going to suffer for this. You don't know how to appreciate this here. Come on now. Because if you have not been through nothing, if you don't go through nothing, then you won't appreciate, come on now, what God has given you. Come on now. It's a suffering to get to destiny. It's a suffering to get to the place in God that he needs you to be. It's a suffering. The problem is we just want everything quick. We don't want to suffer nothing. Me, I don't mind suffering. I mean, no, it don't feel good. It sure don't. And it never feels good, never supposed to feel good. Sometimes I'll be like, Jesus, Lord, take this cup from me. I mean, I'm just being honest. Can I just be honest? Lord said, you got to endure this. I'm pretty sure them prophets say the same thing. Every prophet lives out his message, his or her message. They always live out and demonstrate their message. Their whole life is prophetic. Every prophet, your life is prophetic, okay? So what you're going through is pretty much what God's going to have you to correct. Everything that grieves you, God has called you to correct, okay? Whatever your greatest suffering is, what your greatest anointing is going to be in to destroy the yoke of. Amen. So there's a suffering for everything. But those that are resting in the love of God know that, hey, you know, I'm going through what I'm going through, but God not going to leave me stranded. God loves me. He's not going to leave me stranded. He's not going to leave me desolate. Come on now. He's not going to leave me nor forsake me. Come on now. The Bible says nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Come on now. I'm going to just read that scripture. I love it. I love it, amen. I'm going to read the scripture real quick. Trying to let y'all go, but, you know, the Lord has some more things he had wanted to say. Amen. Romans 8. I'm going to read Romans 8 real quick for y'all. For those that are listening, amen. Because God wants us to know how much that he do love us. It says, Romans 8, 38 and 39, it says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that tells us that no matter what we do, what we go through, nothing that the enemy brings to us will be able to separate us from the love of God. Come on now. And the love of God will always produce something good in your life. I'm telling you, I'm grasping this thing for myself, and I'm noticing a difference in my own life. See, because I knew that God loved me, but when I begin to really experience, my God, because a lot of times we go through so much in life. A lot of times we go through so much in ministry sometimes. A lot of times we go through so much, come on now, and we forget about the love of God. All we see is our suffering. But when you begin to grasp hold to the love of God, you have more peace in your mind, I'm telling you. When you grab hold of that scripture right there, it says, no angels, no principalities, no powers, come on now. No devil in hell can separate me from the love of God. And I know that God loves me, and I know he's going to bring me out in due season. But while I'm in it, I know God loves me, so he's going to sustain me. He's going to help me to endure whatever I have to endure until it's time for God to take me to somewhere else in him. Amen. It gives you more peace in your mind, you know. It stops you from worrying so much, you know, because some folks worry. Some folks worry, worry, worry. You know, I used to be one of them ones that worry, worry, worry all the time, you know. And sometimes God still got to remind me, look, I got that. You see? Some folks worry, worry, worry. And all they got to do is grasp the fact that I love God, and I know he loves me, and he's not going to let nothing happen to me to hurt me or to harm me. Come on now. It could be worse than what I'm feeling right now if he didn't love me. Y'all catch that later. Amen. But I wanted to leave you with that because we got to begin to walk truly in God's love because he really loves us. He loves his people. You know, and he want all of us to come together. Come on now, and just love on him. Come on now, and love each other. That's it. That's all God is asking. You know, but we make it so difficult. We make it so hard to love. Come on now. We make it so hard. We act like it's a crime or something. We act like we gonna die or something. You know. You know. If your brother did you wrong, let that go. You know. You have more peace in your mind. Come on now, you have more peace. You know. They living their life and you are still sitting up plotting on them because you felt they did you wrong. Well, she did me wrong. I'm gonna get her back. And you actually have people in church that retaliate, you know, against another brother or sister. And that ain't God, period. You know, because Christ didn't even retaliate when they was spitting and beating him. Come on now. Tight but it's right. If the shoe fit, wear it. Tie it, put it on. If it cuts you, just say ouch and, you know, go home and let God get that right with you and bandage that wound up. Amen. Serious. Our love walk is of the utmost importance. Utmost importance. Our character got to be made. You're not going to the nations if your character's not made. If you go to the nations and your character's not made, that means the devil took you there. And that's going to be short-lived. Because you love to counterfeit stuff. You love to make it seem like stuff God. And it ain't. No, I'm not using proper English, but everybody don't understand big philosophical words. Amen? I'm just being real. You know, the devil will give you stuff too. He'll counterfeit it for you. And if you want power so bad, he'll give you that too. It's a false power. It's a false anointing. There's nothing up against the real anointing because good always wins over evil. God always wins over enemies every time. And if you read the back of the book in Revelation, we already won in the end. We won from the beginning to the end. Throughout the whole Bible, God won, period. You know, so, Satan will give you a false power. He'll give you a false anointing. He'll have you moving in little false signs and wonders. Amen. Then you'll be a psychic or a warlock or a witch doctor in the church. Witch doctor with a suit on. I mean, I'm just being real because there is counterfeit anointing, counterfeit power out there, counterfeit gifts. Don't you think Satan knows how to counterfeit the gifts of the Spirit? But anyway, enough of that. Amen. Feel a release just to let everything, let this go. Amen. But I truly thank you all for listening today and those that will listen. Amen. And I'm gonna say a short prayer. Amen. And, we're going to close this out until next time. Amen. And before I close this out, I just want to encourage all those out there who are believers because this was a message to the body. Amen. Because before the world can get it right, we have to get it right. You know, before the world can learn how to love, we first, those of us who are named in the name of God, we first must learn how to love. We first must grasp the concept that, you know, God loves us and the love that he's shown us, he wants us to show it to others. We must be the first ones to grasp that because everything starts with the everything starts with the household of God, including judgment. Amen. Including judgment. Amen. But why not righteousness? How come righteousness can't start in the house of God? Amen. Why not holiness? You know, we stray so far away from holiness. You know, why not holiness? You see what I'm saying? We got to be holy. We're supposed to be a holy people. You know, but we can't even, holiness starts from the inside out. It's not just an outward thing, you know. Holiness is not in what you have on, how long your prayers are. You know, the Bible says, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not be in the kingdom of God, period. You know, so I encourage every believer to begin to examine their heart. I encourage every believer, you know, to begin to examine their character and ask God to show you. Please do that. Please Please, I'm pleading with you right now. Ask God to show you you, okay? Say, Lord, what is it about me and my character that you are not pleased with? And once he show you, then you begin to ask God, okay, well, please get rid of it. Please, I'm not trying to hold on to it. I let it go. Please remove all this from my heart, mind, soul. Remove from every ounce of my being that I may be acceptable in your sight. And I guarantee you, God will begin to start working and moving in your life. I'm telling you. I do it now. I'm always asking God take stuff out of me. First of all, just the thought of anything in me that's like, you know, not pleasing to God, just the thought of that, you know, it makes my nerves kind of bad. You know, I'm just being honest. And some folks that know me, I tell you, when somebody told me a demon was in me one day, it was a long time ago. When somebody was telling me, you know, you got such and such going on with you and stuff like that, I put some tissue in that bag and I start trying to purge myself. See, I can't imagine a demon being in me. I'm sorry. Folks may think I'm playing or, you know, I'm just talking. No, I'm serious. I cannot stand the thought of a demon in me, you know. And I believe that everybody should feel the same way. You know, I want my heart to be right before God. I want to be pure and holy before God. I want God to be able to use me. I want God to be able to use me in demonstration of his kingdom. I want to continue to be able to lay hands upon the sick and see them healed. I want to be able to continue to cast out demons. You see what I'm saying? I want to begin to speak life to the people of God. I want to continue to see the lives of the people of God changed by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I want to continue to see all of these things in my life. So if I got to continue to lay on the altar of sacrifice, then that's just what I'm going to have to do because I want God to be pleased with me. I really do. You know, I want God to be pleased. You know, I don't care if man pleased with me or not, you know, because man flip-flop on you any day. God don't flip-flop on you. He lets you know what is and what ain't, you know. But I want God to be pleased with me. And as long as God is pleased with me, I don't care who is not pleased. It really doesn't matter. Amen. Father, I thank you right now. Father, I thank you for the word, Father, that you've given me on today, Father. It's a very simple word, but it's a very well-needed word. And I didn't come with no excellency of speech, Father. I didn't come with, you know, none of them big words, Father. I just, Father, came with simplicity, Father, and understanding, Father, of your word. And, Father, I just ask that those that hear this, Father, that they will begin to examine their own selves, Father, even as you have caused me to do, Father. And I ask, Father, that everyone will begin to reevaluate their walk with you and allow you to refine their character, Father, to refine their walk with you, Father, to refine their spiritual gifts, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. And I just thank you for the word, Father, because you said, Father, that you sent forth your word, Father, and it delivered them and it healed them, Father. And I just thank you, Father, for your word going forth in the lives of your people. And, Father, let this, Father, be the hour of kingdom advancement in the lives of your people, Father. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Father. Let your kingdom be demonstrated through your people, Father. But let us have the right character, Father. Let us have the love of God in our hearts, Father. Father, let us walk like your son Jesus did, Father. Let us continue, Father, to want to be perfected and conformed in his image, Father. And I just thank you, and I just praise you, Father, because truly you are an awesome God, you are a good God, and you are a loving God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I really enjoyed this word today, amen. Once again, Will, God bless you. Apostle McQueen, Prophetess McQueen, God bless y'all. Y'all a real gift to the body of Christ, a real genuine gift. Apostle Hill, you're a powerful man of God. You know, God is going to take you, my God. You know, he is taking you, I just heard him say. He is taking you to new heights, amen. And tell your friends, you know, I said hello, the boys. You know, God bless all of y'all. You know, and I believe that, you know, all of us are a part of this move of the kingdom, amen, in this hour. You know, because that's what it's all about. Jesus preached the kingdom. You know, he didn't preach nothing else. All his parables, the kingdom of God is like this, the kingdom of God is like that. You know, so he's given us the understanding of the kingdom, amen, and I just thank God for you all, amen. And my God, I'm just blessed by y'all being on here. I really am, amen. And I just, you know, pray that you all continue to move forward in the things of God like you're already doing, amen. And, you know, anything that I can do to be an assistant to y'all, you know, just let me know, you know, and, you know, I'll be sure to do whatever I can, amen. You know, I recognize good ground when I see it, amen. And, you know, God is definitely going to expand, amen. I'm reminded of that scripture where it says, enlarge the place of your tent, amen. And God is definitely, you know, doing that with you all in this hour. Amen. He's enlarging your territory. Amen. And you know, it's about to be a big. I don't even like to use this word explosion. You know, of the kingdom. You know, in the lives of his people. But it's going to be like an explosion. It's going to just be something that just blow up so big. Amen. That the world will know that God is with us. Amen. The world will know that Jesus is Lord. Amen. And I see a lot of people being one to the kingdom, you know, as a result of the kingdom being demonstrated, you know, in the lives of his chosen ones. Amen. So I love y'all. I really do. You know, I love y'all, and I really appreciate y'all. Y'all truly have been a blessing in my life more than you realize. Amen. More than you really know. Amen. And I just, once again, I love y'all. Thank y'all. Appreciate y'all. Appreciate the gift that God has given y'all. Amen. I'm getting ready to close this out, but y'all be blessed. And remember, for those of y'all who are listening, I love you, and Jesus loves you more. Hallelujah. God bless. Bye-bye.